Meow, 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 meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting wild and worldwide from Podbay 2A in the Intergalactic Prairie Studios on, I don't even know, I'm just so excited about something and I can't even remember all that. How are you, Davi Barker?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're running for a train again tonight to get on the air, huh? You're a busy guy.
Well, I wasn't a train this time. I was actually running for some chicken. But
Chicken's good.
Yeah.
Chicken's good. So when you reconnected, we're doing a teaching hospital episode here tonight. So when you reconnected, let's go through your settings again and then we'll tell people what we're talking about. So you got the port. We're not gonna say the port on here. But so you got Opus VoIP 24,000, right, for your audio in,
right?
And for
affirmative,
and then you have Wave under that, right?
Right.
Okay. Wave line in is your mic, right?
Yes.
Input buffer 50 milliseconds, right?
Yes.
Okay. Output device, what do you have?
It's also the mic. The headphones are plugged into the mic.
Yep. Okay. And then buffer target is 20.
Buffer target is 20, affirmative.
And buffer recovery is all the way to the left, right?
That is correct. I feel like we're talking about running a submarine or something.
Yes, thank you, Ensign. Ensign, thank you for your service. Okay, hit the little buffer recycling button while you sip your tea.
There we go.
We are we're dividing up the empire, the new empire, over. Here's what we're doing. We're talking over Fiend Phone. Davi is not coming in over Skype. He's talking over Fiend Phone. This is groundbreaking. This is a Watson, come here, I need you moment.
Yep. It's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. It's neat. So
it's very simple too. The user interface is pretty simple. It's funny that you and Derek were both already my friends. I didn't have to add you or anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like Facebook. Like Tom is your friend. Like when you connect with this Derek. Yeah, left it his name, like we're in there. Yeah, it's weird. That's not going to stay when we make our IPO. You know what an IPO is in this case?
No, what is it?
It's an initial phone offering. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
So I've got the short run. I've got the limited edition Fiend Phone.
Yeah. Although with generally with software, like the old stuff doesn't become more valuable with time.
Yeah, that's too bad. Where's all the numismatic software collectors?
Yeah. The like the stamp collectors of software. You actually are. I mean, you can download like WordPerfect 1.0 for DOS somewhere if you want. It's good. They call that abandonware, but it's like it's legally sketchy because it's like, you know, maybe it's not pirate, maybe it is, but you know, with open source stuff, there's old versions of everything you can get for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I guess there are people that keep old video games around. There's definitely a vintage Nintendo, Super Nintendo cartridge collector kind of thing going on. That's software.
Yep. I heard a couple dropouts there. Did you do something or was that testing?
I'm not doing anything, but my buffer is flipping around like crazy and goes back down to zero occasionally. I'm guessing that's the dropout.
Yeah. Well, you can hit that recycle once in a while if you feel like it. I don't know that it's necessary, but this is like, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be doing this on the air, but we are because that's how the Fiends are, man. We're a teaching hospital. So
this is a prototype. You are listening to a prototype.
You are. It actually sounds better than Skype. In some ways
they're beta listeners.
They are no, it's alpha. That's before beta. Alpha Centauri.
Oh, these are alpha listeners.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're listening from beta Centauri. So, so Davi, what's on your mind? Let's talk about some freedom stuff.
All kinds of stuff. We had a kind of aggressive raid in a local house here in Santa Clara where like 12 cops raided into a guy over an alleged $400 camera that was missing. And they battered down his door with a battering ram while they held him in his own front yard to watch.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
It's
the funny thing about it is that he's also a cop. And so that was part of why they did it was they said, well, he might be armed. And so, you know, we have to go in full force.
He's trained to kill.
Even though we're holding him in his front yard.
He's trained to kill. Yeah.
Yeah. The funniest part of the story is that they squeezed out his toothpaste looking for this camera.
Huh. did they think it was a Russian spy camera from the Cold War or something?
I have no idea.
The cutting edge of Soviet spy technology. It sounds like James Bond, man. Toothpaste camera.
Yeah, obviously. No, I think they were just being mean. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. So what else? What are the results of that? Tell me.
Well, so there's some like strange allegations. The guy's Muslim, and there were apparently like people from some sort of terrorism task force who were involved, but the police are sort of denying that.
I heard they hide their cameras in their toothpaste.
Yeah, is that it? Okay, that must be it. So that's, I guess, you know, the idea is that they're being opportunistic. So they have a warrant to find this stolen camera that wasn't even there apparently, and wasn't even stolen apparently. But so there's allegations that he was targeted or given sort of special treatment. But the police force say that he was given special treatment because he was a police officer himself, or he's not a police officer, but part of border control, or I don't remember.
Some cops.
And when they went to talk to him, he didn't cooperate the way they expect officers of the law to cooperate. And so they gave him the full treatment.
Wow. I could hear you sipping your tea. I like it because I could never hear that with Skype because Skype has all this built in, like Skype has all this built in. You don't need to do it that loud. It's obnoxious. But and we can both talk at the same time. You can't really do that with Skype.
Yeah, Skype likes to fix that.
Yeah, Skype likes to fix things. So if people don't know what we're talking about, this is the Freedom Fiends. We're a radio show. And for like since before we were on the radio, like 2.5, 3 years ago, I was trying to find a programmer to create something better than Skype for podcasting and radio and give it away free. And turn Davi down. Okay. I'm getting an email here. Turn Davi down by 3 dB. Go ahead and talk, Davi.
Hey, how's it going? This is me being turned down, being silenced by the board operator.
That's too many dB. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it and let the compressors take care of it. But, so I got this.
Yeah, he was an officer with the Customs and Border Protection. So that's the tyranny news in my neighborhood today.
Yep.
Are you there?
That's square. Yeah, I was there. I was across the
room. Have you been contacted by the government?
I don't know. Hey, how's it going? I don't know. It was weird. When Derek emailed Fiendphone to me, his final output of it, the email took me like 10 minutes. And he and I were on the phone like, yeah, the NSA is probably like intercepting it and then like holding a gun to some hacker that they threatened with 100 years in prison. Like, hurry up, put the back door in it and rezip it and put it back in the email and send it to them. Yeah. I don't think that happened, but
groovy.
Yeah. So basically,
I also watched that conspiracy movie you asked me to watch.
We're going to talk about that too, but I'm going to finish introducing Fiendphone, and this is the beta maiden voyage. And I think we are getting a bit more latency than we'd have with Skype, but it sounds better than Skype. And I've been trying to get someone to make something better than Skype to give away free to improve the audio of Liberty for like 2.5 years, man. And we finally did an Indiegogo and raised like, $1,200 and paid Derek, which is nothing. I mean, this is people would be paid a lot more to do this. But eventually, once we get all the bugs worked out, we're going to, you know, open source it and let anybody do anything they want with it. But we still got a long way to go. We'll probably have another round.
We're not going to do ideological tests.
What's that mean?
You mean you're going to let anybody do it? Just libertarians? I mean, what if like a Republican or a Democrat gets their hands on it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that the name will turn people off who don't know about Liberty and the Freedom Fiends. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Fiend does sound too newfangled for a Republican.
It's street speak. It's it means fiend. Yeah. Fiend, man. That's how they
what
say
it. What if it ends up like the audio for hip hop of the next generation?
I'd love it. I'd love it. Yeah, fiend is a common word in hip hop. Like all the fiends down on the block slanging cane. I tried to sound street with that, but I still, when I try to sound street, you know, all the fiends down on the block slanging cane. You know what I sound like? I sound like a white professor of black studies at USC. That's what I think. Yeah.
I know that guy. I know
that guy. You took intro to English lit and studied hip hop lyrics with him, huh?
No, I learned hip hop in a university course called Social Problems.
Is one of the social problems hip hop?
No, but it was sort of your generic, like, African-American studies, women's studies, drug war, pretty much anything this professor didn't like about society. That was what we learned. And so it was a class about learning his prejudices and learning to echo them back at him.
Yeah. So basically learning, like, that was what it was. Well, was he, did he have solutions for them? Was his solution more government or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, government. Get out and vote, and you wave a sign and
join unions, do neighborhood, what is it, what do they call that, community building, community organizing, which basically
community
means like
organizing,
which basically means, like, you know, occupy your neighborhood until the government pays attention, sort of. I mean I'm all for protests.
I think that's just lingo for unemployed, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been watching this show West Wing, and there's this, like, they're waiting for the results for the presidential election, these Democrats, and they're like, well, it looks like we're winning, and they're like, yeah, but Democrats vote early. And I turn to my wife, I'm like, is that true? Why is that true? And she's like, yeah, because they don't have jobs, and Republicans don't vote till they get home from work.
That's funny. If that is so common that it is an actual thing when it comes to vote tallying.
It is.
That's interesting.
It be the truth, my brother. Worms, you speak the truth.
Well, that was the reason that happened in the Occupy movement, at least in Oakland, was that they would have the general assemblies while everyone was at work. And so the, like, radically unemployed sort of ran the place.
The radically unemployed were the steering committee. And then the people would come from their job. Yeah. The people would come from their jobs working for the 1% and try to have input. And they would have already decided with their little hand motions and things how it was going to go.
Yeah. We had 100% consensus before you got here. So
was that when you were a filthy socialist before you saw the light and became a libertarian, voluntarist, anarcho-capitalist? Or were you a voluntarist kind of infiltrating or seeing what it was about?
I was a voluntarist sort of on the cusp of my End the Fed activism into Bitcoin activism, and I went to Occupy to proselytize.
Yeah. You're trying to convert them from being filthy socialists.
Yeah, any big crowd. I'm willing to go to any big crowd and tell them about Liberty.
I'll bet you can hear the music better now than you could on Skype, huh?
I can definitely hear it. Yeah, for sure. Sounds clear.
Yeah, and it's not cutting. Yeah, this is better. It's not there yet, but we're going to get there. We'll be back on Freedom Theme Phone.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. Freedom Fiends.
We've turned up the compression. I'm Davi Barker. We're squishing Davi Barker. You feel squished?
I can feel it. I'm suddenly very claustrophobic in here.
Yeah, and we'll tweak that later on the end. But you know, they say without the government, who would build the roads? I say the Freedom Fiends and Derek Slopey. I mean, we're building new roads on the internet here. Yeah.
So digital roads.
Let's do our count off test here in a circle, doing a testing latency. One, sure. Two, three, four,
five, six, seven.
No,
eight.
No. You count one, two. I'll go one, two, three, four.
Well, you counted one, two, three, four. So I was just following your lead.
Okay. And then you count one, two, three, four. And then I count one, two, three, four. And you count one, two, three, four. And you come in on my one. Okay. Like, yeah.
In on your one.
Yeah. So let me pretend you have a high voice and I'm doing you. So it would be, I start one, two, three, four.
One, two, three, four.
One, two, three, four.
One, two, three,
okay.
Four.
You're the high voice there, but you don't have to do the high voice. All right. You ready? Testing Fiend Phone on the radio. Man, we set this, like, I tested this with Derek, like, an hour before the show. Then a half hour before the show, I tested it with Randy England, because I said, who's around? Who's a fiend? Who's got a good mic and a headphone? And, tested it with him. It sounded even better. And then I'm like, we started setting this up 5 minutes before we went on air, like literally, man. So, this is the Fiends. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's about 1.5 beats at that speed, and that's a fast count. And that's not much worse than Skype. And the audio quality overall is better than Skype. But you're getting a little bit of echo in your headphones, right? That we're not really getting.
You know, I can't really hear when we're on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hear it now. I only hear when we're on the break, which is weird.
You know what you're hearing when you hear that is you're hearing our delightful board op, who we really dig, Nathan, because we dig him in general, but also he's coming in for Christmas and or New Year's to do stuff, man. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
But you're hearing he's not using headphones. He's using speaker there at GCN. So he hears, you know, you're hearing yourself echoing through the speaker and then back.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
You know, the latency from our mouth to the radio listener's ears is less than a second, all the way up to the space, to the satellites, and then down, you know, everywhere. It's like less than a second.
Awesome.
It's like 30 seconds if you're listening on streaming, because streaming like LRN or GCN feeds, because they have to buffer. But yeah, man, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Practically instantaneous communication anywhere in the world.
That's Fiendphone is going to have a lot of far reaching uses too. It's not just going to be for podcasters and radio personalities who want to speak.
Yeah. Who knows? It may even be used for political dissent.
It may be used for phones. I mean, it may replace, you know, phone calls.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
You know, if someone made an Android version, so far we only have a Windows version. And I gotta say, with every software release, don't start bugging me saying, I want to test this, but I only have Linux or Macs. You kind of have to build a whole new program with other programmers to build that other stuff. So we're basically going to make it perfect for Windows, give away the source code, and then people can do whatever they want with it and restructure it for their own stuff. But yeah,
I mean, how cool would it be if, like, in the future, like, the word fiend replaces the word phone? Because, like, it used to be called a telephone, right? And we just got rid of tele, like, it was sort of obvious, right? There's no other kind of phone. But now there's all these other different kinds of phones. So what if the slang just like, hey, man, fiend me this weekend. We should hang out. Like,
yeah, exactly. That'd be cool. Well, you know, speaking of, like, things that carry over from the past longer than they should, people still call mobile phones cell phones a lot.
Yeah.
And they're not really cell phones. They're basically cell phones were the original mobile phones, but cell technology was the way the towers were set up and related to each other. And literally, cell phones are no longer cellular telephones, and they're called mobile
phones.
That's
funny. I always thought it was called a cell phone because it was for an individual.
For lone wolves who operate without central leadership in small cells.
Well, no, like landline phones. Yeah, exactly. Like landline phones used to be for like a household, right? Like it was the Barker residence. And then like my cell phone, it was like cellular or prison cell. Like it had this like feel of being individuated.
No, it was cellular. It's the way the networks of towers worked. I remember party lines. We'll talk about party lines when we get back and talk about how the free market has gotten rid of a lot of that stuff once the government got out of the way. Obama is a socialist and a liar, and his feet stink.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Admit it, you hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, it is not a slow night for the Fiends. It is a great night for the Fiends. So, I got an email from my my radio mentor, Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live, who taught me a lot of what I know about doing radio. Well, he taught me how to do radio, and then I ignored a lot of it. But I, you know, took what I wanted and left the rest. And he helped us get on radio, and he's a great guy, and he helps Liberty at every turn. Liberty fears and shrinks when Ian walks into the room. I am hearing a tiny bit of delay, Davi, from you over your headphones, but it's because there's no noise reduction. Basically, you can either turn down me coming to your headphones, or you can wrap a shirt around your head to make your headphones tighter. Okay, here's what.
What?
Are you using earbuds? Are you using earbuds or headphones?
Headphones.
Yeah, just like wrap a tourniquet around your head.
Really, wrap a really tourniquet. Tight.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have a tourniquet. I probably have a turban somewhere. That would be funny.
The turban. Well, as long as it's tight, as long as it holds it tight. And then I do want a selfie. Okay. I need a selfie for the show notes. So Ian Freeman, my radio mentor, wrote me and said, "Oh my God, you're testing delay on air." You know, he heard us going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And he said, "LOL, slow night for the Fiends. Seriously, some radio program directors may not be as amused as I. Good to hear the Fiend phone is working though." And see, that's the thing. Like, I hear advice like that, and I'm just like, no, we're testing the next generation of this right here. Like, basically, okay, this would be if 5.5 years ago, we were on the radio saying, "Okay, my friend Satoshi Nakamoto sent me this thing called Bitcoin. We both set it up. I'm sending you some Bitcoin over the telephone or over the radio, you know, over the computer." And, you know, and Davi said, "Okay, I've received the Bitcoin. It's not worth anything. If I give you 10,000 of these, will you order a pizza for me?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, I guess. I don't know." You know, this is a historic moment, man. And if we got kicked off a radio station because we're basically building the roads of the future, put it this way, program directors should be amused with this, because this is going to replace the need for them to go out and pay $2,000 for a box to do signal to tower link STL, man. This is going to replace it for free. And they can say years from now that they were one of the first five stations broadcasting that when it happened. Kind of the same way that, like, there's stations that say, "We were one of the first stations to broadcast Rush Limbaugh," you know, kind of like that.
It'll be in their ad copy.
It will be. Man. Yeah. They'll charge more for ad rates because they were one of the first shows to do that.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So let's talk about some, there's a new, somebody has set up, a website. There's something called Ian Freeman Googling. It's a new, Twitter channel. I don't think it's Ian Freeman. I think it's a joke. I think, but it's kind of funny. It's things Ian might Google. Ian Freeman Googling.
Are you sure it's meant to be Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live? There's also a wrestler named Ian Freeman.
It's got a picture of him.
Well, there you go.
And it says parody account, which I guess is what you put now so they don't take you down. But Ian would never.
He should file a DMCA.
Ian would
definitely
never do that. Now, there was like some like horrible white power group radio show that started a. started a podcast or a radio show called Free Talk Live after Free Talk Live existed. And people were like, aren't you going to send them a cease and desist letter? And Ian's like, nah, people know that we're the real one and they're the other one. And the guy who was running it later shot his wife and then shot himself. So, ugh, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how the universe enforces its own rules.
The universe took out its trash. Well, one of the things Ian Freeman Googling is supposedly Googling is this phrase, that one libertarian wrestler guy.
Okay.
And another thing, this is actually something I've Googled, is agent provocateurs or agents provocateur? And it's actually agents provocateur.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's agent like, provocateurs.
Yeah, like
agents provocateur.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd call it a mulligan. I'd go either way.
No, it's not, because it's French, and French switches the order of noun and adjective.
No, it's not French. We stole that word fair and square. That's English.
We built that from those cheese eating surrender monkeys. That's a joke from The Simpsons. That's what Grounds Creeper Willie calls the French.
It's actually, the only French joke I know is, do you know why the French line their streets with trees?
Why?
So the Germans can march in the shade.
Yeah.
That's the only French joke I know.
I like Boston Tea Party's kind of like update on that joke, but it's funnier. He said that, and this is true, the Belgians make great rifles. They make the FN Fal, which is called the right arm of the free world. It's why my band was called Right Arm of Wyoming, and it's why my Gmail name is rightarmofwyoming@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah, so they make great rifles, and Ian Freeman, Boston Tea Party said that the Belgians make great rifles for a country whose military history consists of waving Germans through the border. Because they've done that in like four wars.
Yeah. Well, they probably sell them to other countries, right?
Yeah, they sell them to that rifle, the FAL, the FN FAL, is the main battle rifle of every non-communist country in the world except America. We have those. Well, I don't have any, but America uses the AR platform, which is a smaller, lighter weapon, but it's not deadly as far of a distance. And people who are using the FN FAL generally call the AR platform, you know, the M16s, they call them poodle shooters.
Groovy.
Yeah. So let's talk.
Although I don't approve of shooting poodles.
I don't at all. I don't at all. But yeah. So let's talk about this movie we saw. We saw this movie called The Conspiracy. It's a recent, fairly recent movie. And I watched it on Netflix streaming. You watched it on something that I don't know if we can mention on the air. How'd you watch it?
Yeah, some pirate site. I don't know. Movie 32-something. I don't know.
Some pirate site. Supposed to be good for you.
Some pirate site.
Supposed to be good for you. Yeah. Okay. So what do you think of this? First of all, it's like, let me, we're going to say spoiler alert. This is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Libertarian movie reviews. We give you the whole plot, and pretty soon I want
spoiler alert, the conspiracy is true. It's all true. I have the documents.
Yeah, you know what, when you yell that loud you get really distorted, because we haven't yeah, you can't get excited on
that's because I'm being silenced.
You are.
It's, well, the conspiracy.
Let me turn up your compressor.
they can't handle I don't know.
Okay, get half that loud.
You can't handle half that loud.
Okay. Get louder.
Get a quarter of that loud.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool, and it has, like, you called it the Blair Witch Project of conspiracy theories, and just like the Blair Witch Project, I went into it thinking it was a documentary.
Really?
And so, yeah, I didn't pick up on right away that it wasn't actually a bunch of kids making a documentary, because that's how it's portrayed.
Yeah, it's a bunch of Austin hipsters, but they're actually from Ontario, which may, you know, that's the Canadian version of Austin hipsters. The one thing that I thought was really funny about it was, and, you know, I haven't mentioned Molyneux in about a month, but there's, in this movie, like they start out not believing in conspiracies. They're making a documentary about a guy who believes in them wholeheartedly, and they're kind of making fun of him. And then by the end of the movie, they're like involved in conspiracies. And when they start to switch from like kind of not believing to kind of believing, they notice that everywhere they go, they see this guy on the bicycle, same guy, like kind of stopping and looking at him for a minute and then riding. And the guy looks like Molyneux. And it's
and you filmed, thought it was Molyneux? I thought it was Molyneux too.
It's filmed in Toronto, man. Oh, I didn't even say that to you. You came to that conclusion also?
Yeah. Because they made a joke about Northern accent or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this is in Canada.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So it's
kind of, that was odd.
It's kind of like Blair Witch in that it's a mockumentary that's, you know, supposedly based on kind of found footage. Although in the last scene, you see one of the participants editing the found footage in the offices of like the people who end up being the New World Order topics, subjects.
Well, I thought the whole point was that the end was fake.
Interesting. Interesting.
Well, like he says at the end, there's the two guys, right? And at the end he says, oh yeah, they were just messing with him. And that was nothing to see here. And he's there with his wife and kid, but we know that they were threatening his wife and kid.
Yeah.
So I think he must have compromised is what happened.
Yeah. So you think that at the end, well, what I think was at the end and going into this movie, I kind of had a feeling it's going to be one of those movies that's like, yeah, great, but the ending's going to be disappointing. And that was even before I finished it and then watched all of the movie reviews on Netflix of the movie The Conspiracy. And a lot of them said, great movie, ending was disappointing. But what I thought happened at the end was when they interviewed that New World Order guy, you know, the guy that runs the universe, the businessman, you know, he... The other guy that turned out to be part of that group, the guy that kind of looked like
Mark Tucker, the guy who wrote the article.
Yeah, his name is Mark Tucker, but he kind of looked like Julian Assange, I thought. Although he was blurred out the whole time, so you couldn't see his face. But he also had like really twisted, broken fingers. Did you kind of get when they showed a close-up of him?
No,
smoking?
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling that like someone had broken his hand as a punishment at some point. But
I thought the ending was really strong. So part of it was I was expecting the guy who went missing at the beginning to turn out to be the bull, like that they had kidnapped the conspiracy theorist and then they were going to make this ritual about sacrificing him. And so I was expecting the bull to be a metaphor for a human. Like that was sort of like I can roll with that because I've, you know,
no, it's
been
like
in
you turn out to be the bull if you're the filmmaker.
But that was the thing. That scene was so cool because there are a lot of like secret society initiations and like pagan and Masonic groups that use the reveal of a mirror as part of their initiation. So like that scene was like the kind of shock that you get joining a fraternity or joining a Masonic lodge or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just really worked for me.
Yeah. It's a good movie. It's called The Conspiracy. It's available on Netflix and pirate23.bit or wherever it was.
Yeah. Just Google, watch The Conspiracy online for free and click around until you find one.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me more of your
thoughts.
It
was good. I thought that, you know, I don't know. It was sort of all over the board. Like every conspiracy was represented, but the group Tarsus is fictional, I think.
But they have a website that looks real.
Do they?
Yeah, the website he looks up is a website. It's, you know, the Blair Witch thing, the promotional stuff that looks real for the movie.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. So, Davi Barker, do you vape?
I do, occasionally.
Were you just vaping?
I'm having trouble with mine. I think it's broken.
Yeah, I heard you vaping, though.
Yeah.
I can hear every
word.
Guilty
as charged.
Yep, so those are just tuning in. We're testing Fiend Phone, the new program from the Freedom Fiends, from Derek Slopey and I. The Freedom Fiends worked in collaboration and gave aid and comfort to Derek Slopey to create Freedom Fiends. He is our unindicted co-conspirator. And he made this thing, man. And this is the alpha test. It's not even in beta yet. If you're listening later on the podcast version of this, I'm recording from my end, but Davi's being recorded remotely. And it's like we're inventing the flying car right now on the radio. But we're going to talk about this movie, The Conspiracy. So you had some thoughts about how conspiracies all relate?
Yeah, so I'm a big Robert Anton Wilson fan, and he's this sort of like anarchist, voluntarist, sci-fi writer from the 70s.
Yeah.
And he wrote famously the Illuminatus trilogy, among his other sort of dozen books or so. And so since reading the Illuminatus trilogy, I really can't watch a conspiracy movie or read a conspiracy book without seeing some derivation of that book, because it covers all the tropes and it covers all the theories. And it's like it is the you know, unified field theory of conspiracy theories. And so to me, this movie looked like the plot from Illuminatus trilogy, where the two investigators are investigating the explosion of the Confrontation magazine headquarters and the disappearance of their editor, Joseph Malik.
Spoiler alert.
And then those, yeah, spoiler alert. Something they get from the picked 70s, up by the conspiracy, yeah. Right? But yeah, I mean, like this, like the disappearance of the conspiracy theorist and the two sort of investigators, although these are documentarians who are looking for this missing person and wrapped up in this huge conspiracy and end up sort of vaguely initiated into this secret society. Like that's straight out of the Illuminatus trilogy. Like it's hard to imagine they got there without sort of copying it, but maybe they didn't.
But it definitely borrows from Blair Witch in that the filmmakers become part of the story and they are doubters at the beginning.
And yeah.
They're independent filmmaker hipsters.
There was a scene that it felt just like the reveal in Blair Witch when he's sort of running and he finally gets back to the clubhouse and he opens this room and he sees his friend and his friend says, "Oh, it's you." And he looks over and the room is full of people who are chasing him.
Yeah,
that felt the same as the woman running through the house, like thinking that she had gotten away. And then the camera pans over and you see the witch for the first time.
That's the scariest part of the movie, man, ever. That's near the end.
Right. But The thing is, both scenes like are cropped in such a way that you can't see the face of the attacker. And that's what makes them so scary.
Yep.
Right. So it really felt like almost the same shot.
You know, do you know about a film called Cannibal Holocaust?
No, but I'm intrigued.
I thought you would be just based on the name, and I think you'll probably go watch this after the show, if not during the break. Cannibal Holocaust is a 1980 Italian cannibal film that basically is where they got the idea for Blair Witch Project. Like documentarians go into the wilderness to document something that may or may not be true and end up getting eaten by it, and later the footage is found.
Yeah.
You know, there's a real movie like that, too. It's have you seen Grizzly Man?
No.
Really? Grizzly Man is by what's the guy's name? The German director, the awesome German director.
Is there only one?
Werner Herzog. Well, there's only one that does voices on Death Clock, on Metalocalypse.
Oh, okay.
But he's kind of an interesting document filmmaker, because he makes all different kinds of movies and they're all really, 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 really weird. I was really honored that when I went to the Deauville Film Festival, like I got a full page in their catalog, my film did, and his page, he got a full page and he was like opposite my page. It's kind of like if you're the cool garage band and like, you know, you get written up in Rolling Stone, like across from not Led Zeppelin, like from Joy Division, like somebody really
okay,
hip and weird and, you know, cult following. But yeah, it's basically there was a guy who was out in Alaska filming grizzly bears and living among them and got eaten by them. And Werner Herzog got rights to the footage and made a documentary around it. It's an awesome film. Somebody called it Bear Witch Project. but it's not fiction. It's real. But it's made from found footage after the guy got eaten by bears. And there was audio of him being eaten by bears. That's not actually in the film, but there's Herzog reacting to it because he thought it was too soon to put the audio in. Too soon? We'll be back with more on libertarian movie reviews on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market. Say fiend worms. Fiend phone worms. Yep. Worms.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Freedom Fiends, the nutritious talk radio show, brought to you by FiendPhone. That's FiendPhone.com. That's Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, and then phone, and then .com. And you can go there and subscribe to the RSS feed. We are talking over FiendPhone. Davi is connecting to me via FiendPhone. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been hacked by the government?
I have not.
Yeah.
In fact, as I understand it, this would be more difficult for them to hijack than Skype, right?
It will be later when we add encryption to it. This is the Model T. You're basically of this thing, you know, of this car. You're basically saying, like, so the airbags work on this Model T, right?
Right. We're just making sure the engine works. Yeah. We'll work on the windows and the door lock and all that stuff. Yeah,
we're creating the internal combustion engine. We'll figure out that people need airbags after a few thousand million of them go through a windshield. Well, after we figured out you need windshields.
Yeah.
So we're talking about libertarian movie reviews. You were talking about the Illuminatus and how it's kind of the, like you see every conspiracy movie, every story you see as derived, or you can see it in the Illuminatus trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson. Yeah. You know, I discovered something like that recently. I saw the movie Duck Soup, the Marx Brothers movie from 1933.
Okay. I don't know if I've ever heard of it. Doesn't sound familiar.
Almost everything I've ever heard a comedian do or say is traceable to that movie.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Including that Harpo Marx, that basically Teller of Penn and Teller is basically Harpo Marx. Harpo Marx was the fourth Marx brother, who was the one that never talked. And even his mannerisms and hairstyle, like Teller is Harpo.
Huh.
Speaking of conspiracies.
That's interesting.
Did you ever see The Simpsons where Penn and Teller were on The Simpsons playing themselves? And I did. Themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one where Penn gets really mad at Homer and starts chasing him around with a crossbow and telling him to do something or not do something. And Teller speaks like it's the first time he ever speaks on, well, I guess he has on video, but, and in the show, but, you know, Teller's like running around chasing Homer and saying, I'll kill you. Or Penn is. And Teller says, listen to him. He'll do it. I'm not the first Teller.
I feel like Teller has had speaking roles before. Like,
well, he talks,
I'm not sure where, though.
I think he talks in the BS movie, the name you can't say on radio, that TV series. Doesn't he talk in that
sometimes? Does he really?
Maybe.
I don't know.
He's such a loud presence of non-talking that it seems like he's talking.
That's funny. It's Jay and Silent Bob. It's the same trope.
The mute sidekick. Yeah. Although yeah. Silent Bob
and the talks. And the loud one.
Sometimes.
Yeah. He usually has like one line.
I'll bet Harpo has a line somewhere in a Marx Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he certainly did not in this. So, Cannibal Holocaust, you're intrigued and wish to subscribe to its newsletter, huh?
Well, it's interesting because it all kind of boils down to this ritual, right? And I have always... I lose track of conspiracy theorists when they start with the magical thinking and they start thinking that there's this magical ritual that does something, because then it's like, well, you're not talking about like some crazy religion anymore. You're talking about magic, yeah. Right? And that has always lost me, but this movie made it make sense for me. And that is that it's not a magical ritual. It's a ceremony. It's a reenactment of a myth about rulers and ruled. And it's about affirming for the ruling class that the subjugated class is cattle.
Well, I mean, right? Are there any conspiracy theorists who actually think that, you know, if the leaders of the New World Order, the people who are so rich that they make Bill Gates look like paupers, but you've never heard of them, that, you know, when they go to Bavarian Gulch and drink the owl's blood, you know, from a... whatever. Like, is there anybody who actually thinks that ritual does anything magical, or does everyone just think it's a corporate retreat, basically?
There are people who think that it is legitimately like sorcerers.
No, man.
And that's also usually the plot of fictionalized conspiracy novels.
No,
that the magic does something.
I think that actually happens at, it's not Bavarian Gulch. What is it called?
Grover? No.
Gulch? No. Grover Norquist.
Bohemian Grover Norquist.
Grover Norquist's bathtub full of dead governments that drown themselves. No,
it's Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, I mean, like, I believe that, you know, the richest people in the world may actually go there and drink owl's blood and dance naked around a fire, but I don't think it's magic. I think it's a corporate team-building exercise.
Oh, no, I think... well, I mean, spoiler alert, I know people who've been to... Bohemian, and that is essentially what they told me that it was, and I was actually decided not to go, which is funny because I didn't know what it was at the time.
Hey, switch.
Are you there?
Yeah, switch to UDP.
Okay,
switch to UDP and disconnect and reconnect, and
I will be right back.
I'll read the plot line of Cannibal Holocaust. The presentation of the film's team's lost footage, functioning similar to a flashback, inspired the found footage style and narrative of filmmaking later popularized by such films as The Blair Witch Project. Davy Barker, are you there?
I'm back, yeah.
Yeah, so for the last segment and the first part of this segment, we used UDP, but we're back to TCP for those doing the QC for Fiend Phone, playing the remote home version. TCP seems to work better at this point with the settings we have. So anyway, okay. Anyway, back to conspiracy.
Groovy.
You know, somebody described... this film, The Conspiracy, as Blair Witch Project if directed by Alex Jones.
That sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, and it's a well-made film. It's well-written. Do we want to spoiler alert a little more with it, or do we want to let people find it?
Oh, we can. Why not?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Well, what do you mean? What do you want to spoil?
Well, they never... I don't know. If people haven't seen it, it's kind of, I don't mind spoiler alerts if they're tagged as such, but you know, it's kind of like 98% of the people listening are like, I don't know what that is. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So talk a little more about just tropes in general of sci-fi and of conspiracies and back up your claims, sir, your wild and drunken boast that all conspiracies lead back to the Illuminatus trilogy by Robert Anton Wilson.
Well, he's just such a prolific figure in the genre. And the great thing about Robert Anton Wilson was he didn't necessarily believe any of it. And if he did believe any of it, he didn't let you know. So he was sort of like a teacher who was presenting all the facts that he had and letting you draw your own conclusions. And he would say, sometimes I know this is true, and sometimes this is a rumor that I heard somewhere, but I'm going to weave it all together in this fantastic tale that may or may not be true. And you're left coming to the end of the book not knowing how much of it was true.
Yeah.
Which this movie also did to some extent.
I read part of the Illuminatus trilogy and ended up like throwing the book at the wall. It seemed like, I don't like writing that really congratulates itself on how clever it is in every word. And that's kind of
he definitely does that. There is even a scene where a fictional author meets with a fictional editor and brags about how and self-congratulates about his novel.
Like, I don't even mind self-referential writing. Like, there's a book called Still Life with Woodpecker by Tom Robbins. And between each chapter, or between most of the chapters, there's like kind of an interstitial, like one or two pages where he's talking about the process of writing the book. And it involves like mushrooms and deciding to paint his typewriter and, you know, burning all his pages and starting over. And that's actually interesting to me. And it doesn't really break the fourth wall, you know, like address the audience the way people do in a play or a movie when they turn to the camera and say, "Well, what do you think?" You know, like that kind of, which the Marx Brothers did a lot too. I don't mind breaking the fourth wall, but, or being meta, you know, like self-referential, but this kind of like put it in its own segments in like a one page between each chapter, which made it even cooler. But yeah,
oh, that's interesting.
Self-congratulatory writing, like, "I'm so clever, ha ha ha." It's kind of like, you know, radio people or podcast people who are like, "My Alexa ranking can beat up your Alexa ranking." You know, it's kind of like that.
I don't know. I never was. I mean, I am also sort of annoyed by that from time to time. But with Robert Anton Wilson, I just always get the sense that he's just having fun and sort of bringing you along for the ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So it never bothered me when he does quirky or unusual things.
You know, he had an idea for a party called the Guns and Dope Party. You know about that, right?
I was registered Guns that's and right. Dope.
Yeah. We talked about that recently. Yeah, that was the inspiration for my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Because if y'all missed that episode, basically this sci-fi writer in the 70s said that if all the gun owners and all the pot smokers in California formed a political party, they'd have like 85% of the vote and they could get anything done they wanted and they'd be unopposable. But, you know, they never did because people are taught to hate each other, hate other people's. Gun owners hate weed smokers for their freedom, and weed smokers hate gun owners for their freedom generally. And really, it's like, true freedom is, you know, the best definition of it I've heard is that saying. It's been attributed to a few different people. "I do not agree with you, sir, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it." That is true freedom. Yeah. You know?
The description of the Guns and Dope Party when I registered was the extremists of the right and the extremists of the left coming together to tolerate each other's hobbies.
Yeah, I actually wanted to use that line in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, and some medical marijuana people begged me not to because they pointed out like marijuana used medically is not a hobby. It's like making life tolerable for people who are in, you know, excruciating pain. So I didn't put that in. I took their advice on that.
I mean, they're right. They're totally right. But there's a strategy in getting people to laugh at it, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like there's a dispelling of the tension that happens when you laugh at politics. And I think that was the point.
Yeah. And well, I think that Robert Anton Wilson even took that further to his plan, other than uniting the gunnies and the weedies, the gunnies and the dopies, was to replace one third of Congress with ostriches.
Yeah, because they're such noble creatures.
They are. And they, you know, if you believe that any decision made by Congress is right ever, which it's not because Congress is something that shouldn't exist. Same with governments. But, you know, if you believe that, his idea was that ostriches would probably pick the right one as often as congressmen.
I bet they would.
By pecking at the crop, this shiny thing or that shiny thing. Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Brought to you by Fiend Phone. Go to fiendphone.com. That's Foxtrot Echo Echo November Phone.com. Check out our progress. Subscribe to our newsletter via RSS feed. And, you know, maybe throw us a few bones here or some Bitcoin, because this is going to change liberty. You know, we were talking earlier, Davi, about the you know, how Ian Freeman, like, sent us an email, like, saying, really, are you really testing, like, latency on the radio? And I'm like, yeah, man, this is groundbreaking. We want a record of it. And I was thinking, I compared it to the guy who the first commercial thing bought with Bitcoin was a pizza. Like, tell that little story there. Do you know that one?
Well, it's just that it was 10,000 Bitcoin. Someone bought a pizza with it.
And how much would that be worth?
They actually bought two pizzas.
How much would that be worth now?
Pizzas. A tremendous amount. Bitcoin's about $300 right now. $350 right now. So here, I can calculate it right now. Just a second. One, it's three point four million. It's 3.3, almost $3.4 million
for two pizzas.
And that's like right now, Bitcoin is cheap by comparison to what it has been.
It's been 1,000 before, so 1,000 times 10,000 would be 10 million. Yeah, if somebody kept that, what they sold two pizzas for, first ever transaction with Bitcoin, 5.5, going on 6 years, something like that. Or no, no. How long was Bitcoin around before that transaction?
That was pretty early. I don't know when it happened exactly, but it was probably either in 2009 or 2010.
Okay, so if that person had just kept that Bitcoin, there was a point last year where they could have sold it for $10 million for what they
bought
someone two pizzas for. So,
and you know, that was before BitPay, so there's a good chance that they didn't just liquidate it.
What is BitPay?
BitPay is like the PayPal of Bitcoin. It's just, it's an easy way to get dollars. And so a lot of merchants that like want to use Bitcoin as a payment system, but don't necessarily want to like hold it as a currency, will get involved in BitPay. And that way they can just sort of transfer it and convert it into dollars right away. That way they're not speculating on the currency. They're just using it as a payment system. But it means that the Bitcoin doesn't go out into the economy. It just goes back to BitPay.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what it was. I was just wanting to have the audience know.
And so, you know, there's a good chance that person sat on it. And if he sat on it long enough to realize it was something valuable, he might still have it.
Yeah. You know what I wonder? Why the seller or buyer of that pizza aren't like keynote speakers at every Bitcoin event? Does anyone even know who they are? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
I'd go hear them speak, you know.
I would too. Yeah, for sure.
It'd probably be like hearing Jay and Silent Bob speak. But hey, dude, we bought some pizza with Bitcoin. It was really cool. But who knows?
Yeah. I don't know.
So how did that transaction work? Were they roommates? I mean, did someone actually pay for the pizza when it came to the door and the other person sent them? How did it work?
I have no idea. This is why this person needs to be doing a speaking tour.
I know, man. I know. And they'd be paid in Bitcoin and pizza. And they'd be like, man,
yeah,
I'll take the pizza. Bitcoin's not worth what it used to, or no, it's worth more. So,
yeah,
party lines. So we were talking about the history of radio, of telephone communication. Was that before the show or during the show? We touched on it during the show, right?
The history of what?
Telephones, like, you know, how much better and cheaper they've gotten to the point where...
Well, we've been talking about the history of telephones the whole time. We're making the history of telephones right now.
Let's talk about... There's a story I like to tell that I've told before, but we're on a bunch of new stations, so I'll tell it. Is when I was a kid, I'm 50, I was born in 64. So when I was about 8, so probably 64, so like 72, my sister... Older sister went to South Africa. I almost call it Southwest Africa. She went to South Africa for a year on the Rotary International Exchange Program. And we got two teenage high school students from Belgium and one from Germany, for 6 months each. You know, my dad has been in Rotary International his whole life. The German guy's name was Adolf too. That's kind of weird. But
it's probably not a popular name anymore.
Yeah, but I think, is he old enough to have been 50, 60? I think he was born after World War II. Well, let's think about that. So I was like 10 and he was like 17 probably. So he's 7 years older than me. So 57, No. He was born after World War II, man. That's creepy. But, yeah, so we got these two exchange students, and my sister was in Africa for South Africa, the country of South Africa for a year. And we called her once for 10 minutes, and it cost $100 in 1972, which is like $500 now. That's how much phone calls cost. Now you can I Skype people in Africa all the time, man, or I have, yeah, for free. That's because the government got out of the way. Talk about more about that when we get back from this trip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. So, we're going to invite people to make a special donation here. I'm basically passing the hat. To get a little money to tip our board op for coming in on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve so we can actually be live on the radio on those nights. If anyone wants to, go to freedomfiends.com and make a donation and earmark it for the board ops. I will give all of it to the board ops. And I'm pretty busted right now. Can't really chip in on it. But if there's any fiends that want to help celebrate the unspoken heroes behind the scenes, the fiends behind the scene, helping us out here, coming in on their day off to make the fiends work, drop a donation on the donate link at freedomfiends.com or some Bitcoin, and I will make sure that Nathan gets it for being a good little Christmas audio elf and New Year's audio elf. So, Davi.
Yes.
Yes. So, we're talking about the history of phones and how the government just got out of the way a little bit and they got better. And we believe that Fiend Phone will eliminate the need for phones at some point. I mean, it'll be just this little thing on your computer that'll sound better, be more encrypted, be stronger, be safer, and be more wonderful. You can also go to
Fiend. Do you think at some point there will be Fiend dedicated devices?
I sure hope not. I don't like the idea of dedicated devices.
No, like the idea.
I mean, I am not opposed to it because this thing is going to be released under GNU public license, which basically means anyone can use the code for anything without paying us anything as long as they credit it and link the source code. And, you know, people may do that. And I actually use the GNU 3 license rather than the GNU 4 license because the GNU 4 license actually has a line in it that says that you can't use things covered with a GNU 4 license on non-open source hardware or like, you know, closed source hardware, which is pretty bizarre because most computers have some closed source hardware in them and most, you know, chromed robot phones. So I always use 3. I use 3 because it's less intrusive. And yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I guess I hope so. When I say I hope not, I just think it's like, you know, it's kind of like people buy those like little DVD players for their kids to sit in the back of the car. But for like $50 more, you can buy a computer that plays DVDs. I don't like the idea of single use hardware. It's kind of redundant.
I guess the reason I see it as valuable in this case is because people have mobile phones now. And so there might be a need for something more mobile than your desktop computer. And so there would need to be a way for Fiend Phone to work with your mobile device.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
But that doesn't need to be a dedicated piece of hardware. That might just be a mobile app version of it at some point.
Yeah. I mean, really, the only way to make a handheld device that's completely encrypted and unlistenable by outside forces is to not have it be a phone. You know, it's basically to just have it be a small Linux computer with a microphone and a speaker output and a and a Wi-Fi connection. Because if you're going over phone networks, you're vulnerable, even if it's encrypted. And if you're going over you know, the architecture of an iPhone or an Android phone, well, Android is Linux based, but a lot of people add things to it and make it proprietary in ways that you can't really see what's going on in it. So, I mean, there was a guy who was making encrypted little phones that only worked from one of these phones to another and only worked with Wi-Fi. And Ben Stone and I had a set for about a year, and then we gave them back. It was Liberty, was it libertyvpn.net, I think, was the company. Do you remember?
I don't know. Yeah. This doesn't sound familiar to me.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about different costs of data during your life and how it's just gone down to the point of like it's free almost.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, AOL was the first sort of social media or whatever. There were chat rooms, right? And you paid by the minute for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the discs. They littered the world with these discs that were like, 1 hour for 10 hours free of AOL.
Yeah. So much so that people like made, like, there was a whole genre of people's art projects made out of AOL discs because everybody knew that their garbages were clogged with them.
Yep. Yep.
It was an environmental disaster. That's what it was. I mean,
yeah, it was not Liberty VPN, by the way. It was, God, I can't remember the name of the guy's phones. Liberty.net. libertyphone.net. Anyway, I don't even know if he's offering them anymore. I don't think he's offering the portable ones. He's offering dedicated ones. But yeah, to really have it secure, you need a dedicated device, and you need not going over phone networks, going over just the internet, and you need a VPN built into it, which he had all of those in the phones.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, maybe that's the future of mobile devices is things that are sort of independent, sort of small handheld computers, as opposed to sort of network connected, corporate phones, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see it. You know, he said something about party lines. Like now you hear the word party line and you think of, what do you think of? The ads.
I think of those late night commercials about singles, you know, pay by the minute, talk to hot singles in your local area.
And they call it the party line.
Yeah. They call it the party line.
Because they're partying.
Or something to that effect.
Yeah. And really, I've seen a bunch of jokes that are probably true of like, you know, you log on and pay your $4 a minute. You call it and pay your $4 a minute. It's like 40 men all going, hello, hello, any women on here?
Yeah, that was a Simpsons episode.
That's it. That was it.
I think it was Apu and like the comic book guy were on the phone
and groundskeeper Willie. Yeah. Yeah. But when I was a kid, we used to have what's called a party line, which was basically, we shared our phone line with our neighbors. Like, you know, if there was an emergency, you'd pick it up and they'd be like gossiping. You'd be like, I need to call the, you know, doctor or something. It was weird. And they could listen to you too.
Yeah. I mean, essentially that's about, it's like a Groupon for telecommunication, right? Like it's because of the expense of the communication lines at the time were so expensive that people collaborated as opposed to getting individual ones.
Yeah. And then the government broke up the monopoly it created, the Bell telephone monopoly, and things got cheaper. I have a story.
See, that's an interesting piece of history. People often, when I'm arguing with people about like net neutrality or any other sort of like libertarian solution to anything, people think that breaking up the Bell monopoly was an example of the state breaking up a market monopoly. And they don't get that the state created that monopoly in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, really, all the government has to do, like the politicians always say, well, I've created this many jobs. No, you haven't. The only way government can help create jobs is stop being the government. Get out of the way. Don't try to regulate something. A really good example is there's basically monopolies in telecom now. Like in a given geographic region, it's generally a duopoly. There's generally like one or two cable internet companies and cable TV companies and landline phone companies, if there's even still landline. In my town, there's one there's one cable TV company. There's also like Dish, which is a different delivery mechanism, so they can have that without violating the monopoly the government sets up. But in my little town in Casper, my little town of Casper, Wyoming, there's one cable TV company and it's Charter. And they're also my internet company, for cable. And everyone who's listening to Fiends heard me talk for months about how horrible their service got to the point where I got a second line and it's DSL. You know, I went back 10 years in technology and it's more solid. So I have both now, but, so we were having a lot of problems with our TV picture. It was just getting really like jittery and freezing and, you know, channels saying channel not available or channel will be available soon. And then it's never available. And basically what it was our cable box was dying. We found out. So I called up to
dying. How, what do you mean?
It was just old and it was 5 years old. And my cat likes to sit on it under the TV cause it's warm. So it probably covering the vents that probably didn't help. But 5 years is a pretty good shelf life these days for, you know, networking electronics. I mean, that's longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it had a good run. It was time to take it out and shoot it. So I called up, Charter and they said, all right, we can give you an appointment. Like I was talking to a guy in India, which I have no problem with if they can speak clearly. And this guy could. He said, well, I can send, I'll do the accent. I'll do that. He said, I said, do you have any afternoon appointments? Cause you know, I have weird sleeping schedule. So he said, no, I can have someone come in the morning on December 23rd, or they can come on the afternoon on December 25th. And I'm like, that's Christmas. You know, that's Christmas, right? And he's like, we have openings on December 25th. And I'm like, I'm not going to have some guy like ruin his Christmas to come out and do his job. I feel bad enough doing it already with my board ops, but our board ops. But so I said, I'll take the 23rd in the morning. So I had to stay up all night. And he said, you will receive 5 automated phone calls and you have to answer one of them and hit yes to confirm, or the guy won't show up, which they never did for the internet stuff before. I'm wondering if this is like an FCC rule for television or something. But like I missed 4 of them. So I had to like leave the phone on while I was sleeping in the afternoon and I got woken up. I confirmed it. And it was for the appointment was for today between 10 and 12. And I was like, I was going to get up and do a bunch of work and then go to sleep and, you know, get up at 10, you know, at the earliest they'd be here. And they're like, and you also have to be available 1 hour before they might show up to reconfirm. So it's like they were stealing time from me, you know?
Weird.
And they wouldn't let me. And I tried just calling him at one point and saying, yeah, I want to confirm. And they're like, okay, I have you confirmed, but you still have to wait for one of the next 2 automated phone calls and receive them. It was a hassle, man. And that's, you know, I can't say, well, sirs, I hate your business. I'm going elsewhere because there's nowhere else to go because the government creates monopolies.
Yeah.
That's my story of woe.
I remember something kind of like this. I wish I remembered what the telecom company was, but this is when we were setting up cable and it was essentially this like roundabout. We never could get them sort of in the same place at the same time. And then at the same time, like the package that they offered us on the phone was not available on the website. So like when we tried to sign up on the website, sort of on our own schedule, we couldn't get the deal that we were promised on the phone.
Yeah. They'll do that to you, man.
I didn't really understand why, though. Like, what could possibly be the motivation for setting up your customer service that way?
Because, actually, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, did a whole show on this. But basically because they can. They put all their money and planning into selling accounts, and then the second amount of work into providing the service, you know, the actual infrastructure. And the last thing on their mind is, like, making it easy for you. Because they have a monopoly, man, from the government.
That's square.
It's square.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Worms.
You sound so much clearer over Fiend Phone, Dobby Barker.
Yeah, well, it's a superior product.
Yeah, man. Derek Slopey rocks. So, I opened my door the other day. I have a big, like, will stop anything kind of door. And then behind that, there's a, you know, door with a glass window in it so you can open it up and look out and not freeze. I opened up the big stop anything door and was looking out the into the snow of Wyoming, and there was blood on the glass, on the other side of the glass. It was kind of creepy. It kind of looked like somebody, it was like at, you know, nose level of someone a few inches taller than me, and I'm pretty short. It kind of looked like someone stood on my door and just like had a bloody nose and just went, you know, covered one nostril and just blew blood on my door or something. Like, I mark you and your firstborn child will be spared, and or just, you know, I'm blowing blood. It was creepy, man. I was creeped out by it. And then I was out shoveling my walk later, and I saw like a bunch of bird feathers and more blood on the ground and cat footprints. So it's not creepy. It's part of nature. Basically, a bird flew into my window, was stunned, was on the ground, and a neighborhood cat had its way with it and ate it. And so I just scraped the blood off with a knife.
Wild.
Put the knife in, you know, steam cleaned the knife. Yeah, it's pretty, it's interesting, though. Now, if I were a conspiratorial person and I hadn't seen the evidence of bird murder from felines, which are the biggest bird murderers in the world, and that's part of why we love them. But I would have thought, you know, like, the Illuminati has marked me for execution or something. But
yeah.
So that's my segue into conspiracies. What do you got there, Davi, for the redemption?
Marking doors is a sign
it's Old Testament
something.
Man.
It's intimidation. That's what it is. They're trying to spook you.
The birds. They're suicide bombing my door to spook me.
Yep, exactly right. Those are hired birds. I don't, you know.
No, they're Manchurian bird candidates.
Manchurian birds. So, yeah, the conclusion, even though it's a work of fiction, the conclusion of the conspiracy movie was really perfect and kind of redemptive in a way. And it is my take ultimately on conspiracy theories. And what it was the sort of the CEO of the Tarsus Club was interviewed by somebody. And he says, yeah, you know, it's a club. It's like Burning Man for rich people. He didn't say that, but that's how I think of it. But what he said was, is there any great grand conspiracy? No, not really. But do rich people get together and occasionally talk about establishing a one world government? Of course they do.
He didn't even say that. He just said, get together and network, basically.
But, yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's all the same thing, right? Like it is no great and grand conspiracy theory to think that the people in power get together and occasionally talk to each other, right?
Yeah.
And they come up with grand schemes, and they, you know, maybe they decide to do something that you would find abhorrent and maybe even satanic, because who knows, right? But it doesn't require great imagination to think that rich people get together and talk, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's what I probably think about Bohemian Grove. Like, it's not evil and proof of any conspiracy that they get together and do stuff, but the people are probably evil. I just don't really think that there's like a grand, I think things are less conspiratorial than people think. I think it's more like power begets power and makes people do creepy things. And yeah, sometimes creepy, powerful people collaborate, but I don't think that there's an overseeing man behind the curtain, or, you know, 40 trillionaires behind the curtain, like planning everything. I really don't.
No, I think it's just like the Liberty Movement or any other sort of group of people of like mind. It's a spontaneous order. The Great Grand Conspiracy is the spontaneous order of people in power who want to treat you like cattle.
Yeah.
And it's not like there's a grand poobah or an inner circle or an outer head of the OTO or any of that kind of stuff. It's just like many people with power and money getting together with similar ideas, orchestrating order through spontaneous cooperation. And the fact that they're evil means that spontaneous cooperation is evil. Yeah. But it's not some great grand conspiracy going back to ancient Egypt and the pharaohs and all that jazz.
Worms.
So redeem your time. That's why it's redemptive. Don't spend your time investigating the invisible evils of the world.
Yeah,
spend
build your something. Time
exposing the visible evils of the world.
Build something like Fiendphone. You know, Davi, I think that someday your rate that you charge freelancing will go up because you'll be able to say, I was the first person to test Fiendphone live.
There you go. There you go. I'm going to put it in my marketing copy.
Watson, come here. I need you. What hath God wrought? First radio transmit. That's the first phone transmission and first radio transmission ever. And the first Fiend Phone is Worms. That'll be in the history books, man. Give me a Worm.
Fiend Phone killed the radio star.
The CIA killed the inventors of Fiend Phone for using it on radio.